Our mood is one of the most important things that we can be in control of ourselves. We establish our own mood and we bring about the results of it. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Come On, Get Happy. That's what it's all about. When it comes to living longer, your mood matters. An article said recently from the National Academy of Sciences. Come on, get happy. When it comes to living longer, your mood matters. Scientists measured the happiness levels of more than 3,800 British men and women aged 52 to 79 over the course of a single day and learned that being happy promoted longevity. After age, health, and lifestyle factors were accounted for. People who saw the world through rose-colored glasses had a 35% lower risk of dying over the five-year study. Those who had the lowest happiness level died. Happiness quotient didn't just affect healthy participants. Those with chronic illnesses also lived longer when they were cheerful. Now, do you know how to be cheerful? Do you know how to be happy? Do you know how to live your life and get more out of it? Well, it seems that that's a pretty important thing. And it's all our choice. Now, we can look at any situation in our life that we like, and we can look at it and say, ah, that's terrible. Oh, that's mean. That's ugly. Oh, these people don't understand me. Oh, life's a hellish thing. And then it is. Or we can just ignore other people's attitudes about life and our experiences. And other people say, you know, you're not this and you're not there. And we say, hey, look, I am. You're not inside of me. You don't know how wonderful I am. You don't know what a beautiful person I am. You don't know how healthy I am, how fantastic I am, how long I'm going to live, because I like living. Now, I can read every bill that comes down the line and say, well, I'm going to take this pill and take that pill and do this here and do that and do the other thing. And that's fine. And some of them we take. And how much progress are we making on being whole and well with all of our pills that we're taking? We are a pill nation. And that goes for Europe and around the world too. Everybody loves to take a pill. Well, why? We love to take a pill because it makes us happy. We think something's going to happen. We think something is going to make us well. We think that life is going to be wonderful. Well, that's good. That's nice. It's better to think that it's going to make us wonderful than not make us wonderful. And if we're going to argue about it, we're only going to argue to our demise rather than to our success. It's up to each one of us to find the good in life and claim it, name it and claim it, and enjoy it. Now, let's start out with one simple word. Happy. Are you able to be happy?
Yes.
We've used that illustration of the sweepstakes, you know. Before you got the sweepstake, oh, I've got these bills to pay, I got this here. After you got the sweepstake, I don't have bills anymore. You haven't even got the sweepstake. You're just told that you won it. And all right away you say, I haven't got bills, I haven't got anything. You don't have a penny in your pocket from the sweepstakes, which you expect to get. But that expectation puts you on a whole different program. It puts you on a whole different attitude about yourself, about life and everything. Now, it may not be true. Somebody might have played an April Fool's joke on you, you know? And that does. That happens. Kids love to play jokes like that. Now, what if it were just an April Fool's joke that you were winning the sweepstakes and you really didn't win it? So that's pretty tough. No, it isn't. We should always have in our mind, in our heart, in our life, in our way of thinking, the happy attitude. Always believe that everything is good and very good. Always believe that life is wonderful. Always Come on, get happy. Like we suggested at the beginning here. Come on, get happy. And rose-colored glasses, they're not so bad. They're not so bad. Have you looked at people who were happy people, who had rose-colored glasses? Were they terrible people? Were they ugly people? Were they mean people? Were they hateful people? Were they sick people? Were they sad people in any way? No, they may have had their ups and downs, but basically, they're pleasant to be around because they had a happy attitude. Now, we have a happy attitude. I have talked to so many people on their deathbed, and it's just always amusing. And as I'm talking to them on their deathbed, they say, "Ah, my pain is all gone. Ah, all my worries are gone. All my cares are gone." And I said, "You could have done that while you were still alive. You don't have to die to have them be gone. But when I die, I won't have to take care of them." Well, somebody's going to have to take care of them. You're just giving the burden to somebody else. Now, why don't you give the burden to somebody else right now while you're living? "Well, I can't do that. I have a responsibility." No, you don't. You have one responsibility, and that's to be happy, to be alive, to enjoy yourself. And you're not responsible for anything else. Now, if you want to go around taking on the responsibility of the world, taking on paying bills and stuff, where did the bills come from in the first place? Out of your attitude, out of your thinking, "I want a new car." Well, why not buy a nice used car? Or why not take a cab whenever you're going to go someplace? How much are you going to use that car? I had a beautiful, what was it, little Mazda.
Honda.
Mazda. My little car. What's the name of it?
Yes.
Come. What was the name of my Mazda?
The blue one.
Yes, the blue one. And it was just a beautiful little two-place car. And I got it.
Oh, the Miata.
Miata. You see, you all did know the name. It's Miata. A beautiful car.
I
brand
thought it was going
to brand new. It was just wonderful. Now, I had that. And I would go to town once or twice a week, if that often. And then it sat in the garage. I never used it. And then, after a while, Ellen teed me off, and she says, "You can't go to town with that car. You can't carry anything in it. You can't do the grocery shopping with it. You got to take the big car. You got to use the big car. You got to use the Enterprise.
Expedition. Expedition.
Expedition. You got to use the Expedition, the Enterprise. And you got to take that in town so you can carry it. Herb, every time you come home, you got your little Mazda, your little Miata there, high in the ceiling with things piled on it. So you take the Expedition and use it." Now, that's logical. But I was perfectly happy doing whatever I did. It didn't bother me at all. Now, that little car, I wanted it so much. I could taste it. I thought it'd be just wonderful. Actually, I wanted the Mercedes 450 SL, but then that wasn't to come. But this one came, and it was great. And so I drove it and enjoyed it once a week, maybe. And sometimes I'd go in Campo just to drive the car. And sometimes I'd drive the car around campus here just a little bit, just to drive it. And when we'd have any young friends come out to campus, you know, they were in their 80s and 90s, I'd give them a ride in the car. And they thought, "Oh, that's fun, that's wonderful," you know. Well, that made it all the more happy for me. But did that car make me happy? No, it didn't make me happy. I made me happy. I got in that car and I drove it like a sports car. And everybody else says, "Wow, you shouldn't, blah, 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 blah," you know. And I said, "Hey, that's my car. I'm enjoying it. I'm having a good time in it." "Well, hey, get rid of the thing. If I can't be myself in my car, get rid of it. Because if I'm using it once a week, this beautiful car, that's not enough. I could call a cab up here to campus and go down to town and come back, and it wouldn't cost me as much as it would if I were making payments on the Mazda, but it was already all paid for. So, what am I doing? just throwing money away. And if people would use cabs, instead of all having to have cars, it's a status symbol to have a car, you know, it's a happiness symbol. Well, why not have it be a happiness symbol to call the cab and have the cab driver open the door for you? And the cab drivers don't always do that. And so you say, Mr. Cab Driver, I'm paying to have a chauffeur drive me around. I would expect the chauffeur to open the door for me. Oh, okay. I'm just not used to that. Everybody opens the door for themselves. And I'm used to having a cab driver put my luggage in the trunk and bring my shopping and put it in the trunk and unload it for me when I get home. Well, you hired us for to be a cab. That's right. And you get a good fare going from San Diego up here to campus and back, you know. It's pretty nice. You got a point. And none of them complained. Of course, I didn't use any of them. But none of them complained. And none of them would complain. You see, happiness is something we do for ourselves. And I did for myself all the time. I just loved it. And when Dorothea gave us that beautiful Jeep we had, I drove it around a little bit. But it was not a comfortable Jeep like the Expedition, you know. The Expedition, if that were a Jeep, then I'd love driving that. But the Jeep was just a little Jeep. And it was okay. And the Mazda was just a little Miata, you know, and it was okay. But the big car, oh my, don't we feel grand in that. Ellen gets in there and she rides up above everybody. She looks down in their cars and sees them fooling around. And she says, oh, how about that? You know, and she can see everything. And nobody can see her because she's up too high. She's got full control of everything always. And Sylvia, with her little golden auto, she drives that thing around just like she's a Princess Diane, you know. But she forgot a very important point. She forgot a very important point. When Sylvia gets into her, what do you call it?
Golden Eagle.
Your Golden Eagle. She forgets, since she's Princess Di, she forgets to put on her tiara, her crown. Now, she is Princess Di whenever she gets in her car. She is a queen. She is a royalty. She is special. So she should put her tiara on when she drives around, and people would recognize that she's a very special lady. Now, did Princess Di always wear her tiara?
No.
But was she always Princess Di?
Yes.
And you see, it's not a matter of what you wear, it's how you feel inside. Did Princess Di always feel inside that she was Princess Di? Was she always happy? Most of the time. The only time she was not happy was when, Sylvia? When she was trying to please someone else.
I can relate to that.
What's that, please?
I can relate to that.
Yes. When she was trying to please the prince, you know, and she was trying to please the queen mother, and she was trying to please all these various people. And what did the people think of her trying to please it? They said, don't bother.
Be yourself.
We love you the way you are. You're real people. You're our kind of people. And they loved her. And when she passed, they were very sad about it because she was the first real royal person to be in the palace in hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. Because there was never a Princess Diane in the royal family throughout all these years, and maybe even more that we know about. And she did her own thing, and she was a beautiful woman, and she still is a beautiful woman. Now, she did her happy thing. She made herself happy, and she lived a happy life, and she enjoyed being happy. And being happy, she shared with the world what it meant to like herself, what it meant to bring happiness into her life and into others. You might say, well, she had some pretty much sadness. Come on now. When did you ever see her sad? In public, she was always on key. She was always happy. You read about it in the newspaper of unhappy things that happened to her, but you never saw her that way. She was always a princess. She was always a happy lady, and everyone loved her for this happiness. And everyone loves us for our happiness. And the sooner we can learn to be happy, for no reason at all, just because it's fun, just because that's who we are, then life takes a whole different picture for us. Like they say here, come on, get happy. And people who are happy are healthier, wealthier, more friends, obviously, you know. All the good things in life for people who are happy. And anybody who's not happy, to hell with them. We don't want anything to do with them. Yeah. We don't want that unhappiness in our life. Because we're working sincerely and definitely on being happy ourselves. And if somebody comes along and wants to drag it down, no way. And if someone wants to come along and tell me I'm not the greatest speaker in the world, I don't even hear it. If someone wants to come along and tell me that I made a mistake in speaking of this or that or doing this or that, I don't even hear it. All I hear is that I'm a wonderful guy. I'm a happy guy. I do everything right. And I have no responsibility to anybody for anything except to me to be happy. And if anyone else feels I have responsibility, no way. No way. That's not what we have University of Healing for. That's not what we have God Unlimited for. That's not what we have the organization here for. We are here to be happy. And if we're not happy, we're dead. And I don't see any dead people around here, do you?
No.
No. So, enjoy yourself. Love yourself. Be happy with yourself. And if you, from the name of the organization, bring in the lady who gives her a bath.
Aspire.
If Aspire comes here and wants to give you a bath twice a week because they feel that a clean lady is a healthy lady, you say, thank you. And learn to be a princess die and learn to let people wait on you sometimes. It's not bad. Now, does Sylvia wait on you as a friend and as a caregiver for you?
Yes.
Does Ellen wait on you as a caregiver for you?
Yes, very well.
And do I wait on you as a caregiver for you? No way.
I must find the words to describe.
No way. No way. I let everybody else do it. And I love them and bless them and enjoy seeing them do it. Okay. So much for that. Now, I'll throw this little ditty in here just as a closer here. From this scientific journal, it says, starting the day with a cup of joe, that's coffee, may do more than perk you up. The more caffeine women consumed during a 10-year study, the less likely they were to become depressed. The same association wasn't found for those who drank decaffeinated coffee, only caffeinated coffee. And men weren't included in the study because they're never depressed. Have a wonderful day and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.